Welcome to Crossroads, the broadcast ministry of Montgomery's First Baptist Church, where you can discover God's personal plan and power to conquer your problems through Jesus Christ. Join us now as God's Word heals, encourages, and enlightens your spiritual life.
Would you come with me to Philippians chapter 3? We'll start in verse 10 in a moment. May assist you to find a little piece of paper entitled, Like Paul, Press On. One of my favorite movies is entitled Chariots of Fire. And it's the story of a Scottish missionary named Eric Liddell. Maybe you remember that theme song, Chariots of Fire. Eric Liddell was not only a missionary, but he was a marvelous athlete. As a matter of fact, he won the Olympic gold medal in 1924 in Paris. And you hear that lilting melody? Just calls you to race on, doesn't it? That's good, Ed. It's about right. Thank you. Beautiful, Ed. But the Chariots of Fire is a story of how a man had uncompromising faith. And he was completely committed to Christ. And he won. As a matter of fact, when he won, here was his speech. Listen to what he said to those after he won the gold medal. If you commit yourself to the love of Jesus, then you will run your best race. That's what he said as the winner. If you commit yourself to the love of Jesus, then you will run your best race. Now, Eric needed all of that perseverance because he became a missionary in China. That's good, Ed. And that was beautiful. Thank you, Ed. You are the best. Ed's the one and only. Well, Eric went on to be not only a missionary in China, but when the Japanese took over China, he could have left, but he stayed to maintain his witness for Christ. He was thrown into a Japanese prisoner of war camp, and he died there in 1945. He died in faith and with faithfulness because he persevered. He pressed on. So that's what Paul is going to tell us today. He's going to give us a picture of pressing on. Maybe some of you are here today and you're in the category of feeling tired and you're tempted to give in, to give up. So let me ask you, do you ever feel like quitting? Maybe that's your situation right now. Maybe there's some people who have hurt you and done you wrong, betrayed you. You feel disappointed, disillusioned. What's the use is the theme song of your life. Well, I want to quickly remind you that life, it's not a sprint, friends. Life is a marathon. We all know that races are easy to start and hard to finish. It's easy to start school, but hard to finish. It's easy to start a job, but hard to finish. It's easy to start a marriage, but hard to finish. So if you're here today and you're feeling tired, maybe out of gas, hurt, betrayed, disillusioned, maybe you need to get your fire back. The Bible talks about being able to fan the flame of our faith. So perhaps today, this service, this message, will be like God's spark, giving you new fire to pursue the Lord in faith. Talked to a young lady not long ago. She told me her story. She told me about how she loved the Lord. She was real strong in high school, and then she went off to college and some tragic things happened. She lost a brother, her parents got divorced, she connected to the wrong crowd. And the next thing you know, she was on the wrong track. She had lost her fire for her faith. And then something happened. There were some people linked to this church that connected to her. And these hot-hearted Christians somehow got this young lady's faith glowing and growing again. And she's back on God's track. She is using her life to make a difference for the Lord. Well, that's my prayer for you today, that God would flame the fire of your faith. As we come now to the starting line of Philippians 3, this will be Paul's call to all. He says in verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I've already obtained it, or have already become perfect, but I press on in order that I may lay hold of that for which I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Well, let's pray for a moment. Dear Father, oh, I pray that you would get me out of the way so that your Spirit could take your transforming truth and deposit it in every receptive heart. Call us even today afresh and anew to press on with you. And I pray for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's start here. I want to highlight four life-changing truths. And let's begin with press on with a desire for improvement. Press on with a desire for improvement. Notice in verse 12, what did Paul say? Not that I've already attained it. In other words, I've not arrived yet. Paul possessed a divine dissatisfaction. He wanted to keep on improving. He wanted to keep on knowing Christ. He wanted to keep on growing in Christ. He wanted to keep on showing Christ to his world. He wasn't satisfied with where he was. He wanted more. He wanted to grow. Now, let me contrast that with a story that Jesus told in Luke chapter 12 about a man we call the rich fool. I've given a summary of that on your worksheet. Jesus said there was a man, he had a lot of personal wealth, and he decided to increase his barns. He tore down the old ones. He built new ones. He filled them up with stuff. And listen to his attitude. He said, I'll say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. That was, I've got it made. I don't have to do anything more. I am in park. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your life is demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? Contrast to that rich fool, there's another Bible hero named Caleb. Do you remember his story? Caleb and Joshua, they were leading the children of Israel. They were leading them out of the promised land, out of Egypt to the promised land. And they got over to the promised land, and there was this real tough territory. It was where these giants lived, the Anakim. And the territory was tall and treacherous. And do you remember what Caleb said? He said, Joshua, I'm 85 years old, but I'm as strong today as I was 40 years ago when we discovered this place. Would you let me take the tallest, toughest territory? And he did, and he won. You see, he had that attitude, not of coasting, but climbing. Keep on climbing. And that's what God expects for us. And one of the things I love about this church, First Baptist Church, is 189 years old. Now, in anybody's book, that's a pretty old outfit. But here's what's so cool. What are we doing tonight? At age 189, we're hosting hundreds, even thousands of students. We're having a hip-hop rap Christian artist from Houston named Corey Paul. And we've got Jeremiah coming in to talk football and use it as a leverage to pull people into the kingdom of God. That's not business as usual, is it? What is that? We're continuing to climb. We refuse to coast. About 1982, I met a man, I'll just call him Marvin. Marvin was in the hospital. He was having some problems with his health, and we just had this instant bond. He was so transparent. He said, Jay, I'm so glad to meet you. I've not been to church in a long time, but he just said, I've got some problems. You know, I'm 60 years old. I retired recently after 40 years of working hard. I built a successful business. I've handed it off to my sons, but I want you to know this retirement is killing me. He said, I'm here in the hospital because, frankly, I've gained 60 pounds. I've become a diabetic. I've been spending too much time at the golf course, too much time at the lake fishing. I've been drinking too much beer. I've been down too much at the beach, and I'm in a mess. And he said, I just got to get myself back together. He said, matter of fact, I've got to get reconnected back to the Lord, and I've got to get him to help me straighten out, and I'm going back to work. Do you know he did all those things? He went back to work, he came back to church, and God gave him some bonus years of great fruitfulness and productivity because he decided to embark on a season of improvement. Well, I urge you to develop that kind of Christ-honoring desire to grow and improve. For instance, read some new books, meet some new people, go to some new places, have some new experiences, and then determine that in your basics, you are going to do your best. You're going to grow and improve. If you're a student, don't be satisfied for C's. You go for A's. If you've got a job, don't do your minimum. Do your Christ-honoring maximum. If you're married, if you have a family, do you know what you should do? Grow your relationship to your spouse. Become a better parent. Or if you're a kid, become a better kid to your parent. But here's the ultimate growth opportunity. Grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. Become a student of His Word. Connect deeply to His people. And become His everyday servant. That is God's call for you to improve and to grow. Well, let's go to number two. Let's press on with a devotion to a single purpose. A devotion to a single purpose. Paul said in verse 13, "This one thing I do." This one thing. Well, he defined that one thing in verse 10. He said, to know Christ and to make Him known. That's what he was all about. That's what Paul gave himself to. You see, Paul gave his highest, his best, and his most to serve Jesus because Jesus had given His highest, best, and most to save Paul. And we could all say that. Jesus has given His highest, best, and most to save me, to save you. So shouldn't you give your highest, best, and most to serve Him and His purpose and build His kingdom? Well, of course, that is the one thing. Now, frankly, friends, we live in a distracting world. Oh, there's so many things that vie for our attention. There's so many choices. There's so many voices. So the key to success in every area is what? Focus. I read a terrible story the other day about a guy named Alex Height. He had just graduated from college in Denver. He was going to go to work over in Greeley, Colorado. It was the first day of his new job. So here he was. He was driving to his new job. A friend had texted him a congratulations. So here he was texting really quick, sending back a message, and he looked up to find a cement truck in his lane because he had drifted over in front of him. He quickly corrected. He overcorrected. He rolled his car, and it cost him his life. You see, a lack of focus can be very deadly and dangerous. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to learn to develop the right focus. Look on your worksheet at Luke chapter 10. That's a picture of Jesus. He had gone to Bethany, and he was visiting, no doubt, with Lazarus and Mary and Martha. You remember what happened? Martha, she was fixing supper. And I can just hear her. She's in the kitchen. She's putting together a beautiful meal. And then all of a sudden, it strikes her, where is Mary? Why isn't Mary in here helping? So can't you just listen and hear her just clanking those pans? And she's getting upset because her sister is not in there doing her part. So she storms into Jesus and she says, Jesus, a lazy sister, meditating Martha, meditating Mary should be in here helping Meatloaf Martha. And do you know what Jesus said? Look on your worksheet. He gives her a commendation for her focus. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about so many things. In other words, you're distracted. But only one thing is needed, only one thing. And Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. That one thing, that ultimate thing that really counts, it is Jesus. So let me ask you this. Are you good at focusing, or do you get easily distracted? I read a really great story about Hank Aaron. Do you remember Hank Aaron, the great baseball player? Hammerin' Hank, they called him. He hit 755 home runs. And he said the key to his success was focus. Now, when he would go into the dugout preparing to hit, he would take his baseball cap and pull it down over his eyes. And in that baseball cap, there's an air hole in the top. And he would turn that air hole into a picture of the pitcher. He would squint his eyes and he would focus fully on the pitcher's motion. And after he memorized that motion, he would get up to hit. Well, if you gave old Hammer and Hank Aaron a chest-high fastball, it was heading out of the park. He did it 755 times. And he attributed it all to what? Focus. So I would urge you, like Paul, learn to focus on the one thing. Fix your eyes on Jesus, who calls you to that upward goal of knowing Christ and then making him known. Number three, press on with a deletion of the past. Paul said, forgetting what lies behind. And that would mean forgetting successes and forgetting your failures. You see, we're all tempted to rest on our past accomplishments, which would make us shift out of drive and into park, thinking, I've done enough. And over the years, I've met too many used to Christians. Yeah, I used to teach class. I used to sing in the choir. I used to go on mission trips. I used to give and serve and live for the Lord. I used to. But then they figured they had done enough, and it was somebody else's turn. Maybe today God will call you from being a spectator back to being a participator. Now, the other part of the equation is it's easy to focus on past mistakes and failures that make us embarrassed and feel unworthy. So we need to forget those. You know, Paul had a past, didn't he? Paul was a murderer. Paul had attacked the body of Christ. And yet Paul got forgiveness from the Lord. He then forgave himself and he pressed on to do incredible things to build the kingdom of God. Some of you need to do the same thing. You see, too many people are prisoners of the past. Like a lady I met not too long ago, she came to see me and she said, Jay, I just want to tell you my story. She visited her church and she just immediately began to tell about a terrible divorce. She gave me the details and all the pain that was connected to it, and it was so vivid. And after about 30 minutes, I said, oh, my precious friend, I'm so sorry. Give me a timeline. When did all this happen? Was it last month or last year? She said, no, it was 15 years ago. I said, 15 years ago? Because it was as if it was yesterday. You see, this precious lady, she was a prisoner of the past. And that's why Paul says, forget all of the things that would hold you back. Now, my precious friends, there's an Olympian who sums this up well. He put it like this. This Olympic champion said, the only way to win a race is to forget all past victories, which would give you a false pride. Forget all former failures, which would give you false fears. Each race is a new beginning. So press on to the finish line. That's all that counts. Well, lastly, let's press on with the determination to finish strong. Finish strong. That's what Paul said. I'm going to press on to the upward call in Christ Jesus. That's a call to endurance. That's a call to perseverance. It's a picture of a runner continuing to race forward even when he's virtually out of gas, setting aside insecurities, doubt, and running toward the finish line. It's that call not to quit, to don't give up, to persevere, to endure. One of my favorite stories about that is about a young wrestler. His name was Joe. He was 16 years old. He was from a small school, and they didn't have a wrestling team, so he had been watching the Olympics, and he had seen these Olympic wrestlers, and he wanted to be like that. He had a friend in the coach, and he said, Coach, I know we don't have a wrestling squad, but would you take me to the matches? And the coach loved this young man. He said, I'll do it. And so he started to study the techniques in films and in books. And he didn't have the technique, but he had tenacity. He had plenty of tenacity. So he started going to these matches, and he started winning all of them. One after the other, he won until finally he was set for the state championship. He was supposed to wrestle the state champion. This young man had never lost a match in 3 years. So the coach took him. He knew that Joe didn't have a chance, but he was cheering for him. So he got down on the mat, and this champion jumped on top of Joe. He had him twisted up like a pretzel. The coach couldn't bear to look to see his champion lose, and he turned away. And suddenly, he heard a gasp from the crowd and then a roar of applause, and he looked, and Joe was on top of the champion, had pinned him and won the match. The coach couldn't believe it. He said, "Joe," I turned my head, "what happened?" Joe said, "Coach, he was the best. He had me turned into a pretzel. All of a sudden, I opened my eyes, and there was a big toe right in front of my nose." He said, "I looked at that toe, and I thought, what's to lose? So I bit the fire out of it." He said, "Coach, it's amazing what a man can do when he bites his own toe." Now, I tell you that story because this young man, he had an attitude of whatever is necessary. And that spells when. Whatever is necessary. Paul had that same attitude, didn't he? Look at the Apostle Paul. Acts chapter 14 in Lystra. He was stoned and left for dead. Acts chapter 16, he went to Philippi. He was maligned. He was beaten. He was thrown in prison. Later, he was shipwrecked. He was bitten by a snake. I hate snakes. I don't know about you. But did any of that hold him back? Did beatings or prison or shipwreck or snake bites hold him back? Did he stop? Did he quit? No, he pressed on. And friend, that's God's call to me. That's God's call to you. Whatever you're dealing with, whatever obstacle that you are facing, hear God call you to press on. Which brings us to the last point. There's a prize to be received. So make this last note. Press on with your decision. Press on with your decision to run your race with endurance, doing whatever is necessary to serve Christ and receive that prize of Jesus saying, "Well done, well done, my good and faithful servant." Let's pray together. Oh, Father.
Thank you for sharing worship with us. We trust God has used this broadcast for your spiritual growth and encouragement. If this ministry has touched your life, please let us know. If you'd like to share in the cost of this broadcast, you may send your gifts and support to First Baptist Church. Your partnership with us will help strengthen and extend this ministry and will be greatly appreciated. And remember, when you are at the crossroads, follow Christ.